May the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be acceptable in your sight, Lord, my strength and my redeemer. I want to share something, and for those of you who are CTKers, a little bit of some of the things I shared Sunday at the tail end, only because they still fascinate me personally. And any real word that has validity isn't just objective truth, it's because God's speaking it to you first. And I find myself often speaking about something until I don't hear anything else about it. Then we go to the next thing. Because God's first in the process of depositing things in my life. And true ministry is divine overflow. This is from verse 18 of chapter 4 of Romans. Now, remember the story here. This is Abraham and about Abraham and Sarah and her becoming pregnant. It references their age, that it happened when she's about 100 years old. They'd been given the promise from God 25 years earlier. I know that sometimes people like to celebrate the fact that when it says that Abraham didn't waver in unbelief, that this is just the grace of God, didn't notice that Abraham for 24 years didn't just waver in unbelief. He flapped in the wind in unbelief and tried to offer his nephew. Then he offered Ishmael and was doing everything to help God out, make this thing happen. But it wasn't until he was 99 years old that they had an encounter in Genesis 18 where they actually began to believe what God had spoken originally 24 years earlier. That's the story here. And it is a cool story here about not wavering in unbelief, but it happened for the year after 24 years of wavering. Verse 18, in hope against hope, he believed in order that he might become a father of many nations. According to that which had been spoken, so shall your descendants be. And without becoming weak in faith, he contemplated his own body, now as good as dead, since he was about 100 years old, and the deadness of Sarah's womb. Yet with respect to the promise of God, he did not waver in unbelief, but grew strong in faith, giving glory to God, and being fully assured that what God had promised, God was also able to perform. A couple of things remind you of, a couple of words that'll help all this make sense. Is the word condemnation. The word condemnation, the word actually means to separate from, to assess something, to judge, to give an opinion about. Like if a judge gave his opinion about something. We use the analogy of a Supreme Court justice. He writes an opinion. That's his judgment. And so condemnation is this giving an opinion of. And the scripture doesn't tell us that God condemns us, because there's no condemnation for those in Christ. It doesn't tell us that the enemy condemns us. It says that he accuses us. But when we listen to the accusations, we condemn ourselves. And a couple of times in the New Testament, he says things like in 1 John 3, that if your own heart won't condemn you, you'll have confidence before God. The other word is the word doubt, which has that word condemnation in it. It's made of two words. Dia, crino, by means of condemnation. And doubt is when, by the condemning of ourselves, having an opinion about ourselves and thinking we don't deserve, we haven't earned, we haven't done enough, it's at the heart of self-righteousness and living under the law, that I can't believe God for this. I can't deserve that God would do this. And so when he says here that with respect to the promise of God, he did not waver in unbelief, the word waver here is the same word doubt. Dia krino. Through, by means of self-condemnation. He didn't give into that. He didn't waver in unbelief. He didn't give in to evaluating and assessing himself and having an opinion about himself. As a matter of fact, when he looked at his body, and how old his body was, and how old Sarah was. She was 90. He was almost 100 years old. With respect to the deadness of their body, he didn't grow weak in faith because he didn't form an opinion. condemnation that would cause him to have doubt. Because all that mattered was God was able to do this. Now here's when the transition happened. In Genesis chapter 17, we have a couple of laughers in 17 and 18. And this is when God and Abraham having this conversation about Ishmael. And God said in verse 15 of chapter 17, "As for Sarah, your wife, you shall not call her name Sarai, but Sarah shall be her name. And I will bless her. Indeed, I will give you a son by her. And then I will bless her, and she shall be a mother of nations. Kings of people shall come from her." And Abraham fell on his face and laughed. Now, I've said this before. I've walked in unbelief before. I never know. I don't think I've ever, like, fallen on my face in front of God and laughed out loud at him, which is encouraging. And Abraham's a father of faith, as the scripture says, the friend of God. So if you've chuckled before when God gave you a promise or laughed out loud, don't feel bad. He fell on his face and laughed and said in his heart, "Will a child be given to a man who's 100 years old? And will Sarah, who is 90 years old, bear a child?" And Abraham said to God, "Oh, that Ishmael might live before thee." God, I've already got the solution, and I've worked it out. You don't have to be stressed about it anymore, God. But God said, "No, but Sarah, your wife, shall bear you a son. You shall call his name Isaac." And of course, the word Isaac means God's laughs. God always gets the last laugh. But in chapter 18, we have this other encounter. And in verse 10, it says, God says, "I will surely return to you at this time next year. And behold, Sarah, your wife, will have a son." And Sarah was listening at the door, at the tent door, which was behind him. Now, Abraham and Sarah were old, advanced in age. Sarah was past childbearing. And Sarah laughed to herself, saying, "After I have become old, shall I have pleasure, my Lord being old also?" And the Lord said to Abraham, "Why did Sarah laugh, saying, 'Shall I indeed bear a child when I am so old?'" And then he says, "Is anything too difficult for the Lord? At the appointed time, I will return to you at this time next year. You'll have a son." And Sarah denied it, however, saying, "I did not laugh," for she was afraid. And God said, "No, but you did laugh." Here was the key, I believe. Verse 14, they heard God say, "Is anything too difficult for the Lord?" Now, the word could be translated better as, "Anything too wonderful for the Lord?" See, one of the things that they kept saying is that, can I still have pleasure at this age? This something this wonderful could happen? And the word is, God said, "Is anything too wonderful for the Lord?" And at that point, they stop having an opinion about them and having an opinion about themselves, which is where condemnation, doubt come from. And they formed an opinion about God. This has never been about what we can do. He needs our participation, but this has always been about what he can do. See, the essence of living under the law is, what can you do? Grace is, what can God do? And I believe that was the game changer. And that was when they were 99 years old. And Sarah, Abraham was 99 years old. And that's what Romans 4 is talking about. It's as if he heard the word again about the promise. "And without becoming weak in faith, he contemplated his own body, now as good as dead, since he was about 100 years old, and the deadness of Sarah's womb. But with respect to the promise of God, he did not waver, given the doubt." Because he didn't condemn himself because he's too old and he's wasted all that time. Maybe you would think that. I might think that. Oh my gosh, I've been trying to make this happen for 24 years, and so I've unearned the right for it to happen. I'm glad that God's not like that. God's not the God of second chances. That's just where he starts to count. And his numerical system is endless. He didn't waver in unbelief, but instead grew strong in faith. How? Giving glory to God. And those who are here Sunday, If you look up the word glory means to have an opinion of. He stopped looking at his body and her body and having an opinion. He stopped looking at himself and his own spirituality and having an opinion. He simply gave glory to God. He had an opinion about what God could do. And the opinion was is that nothing was too wonderful for God, regardless of the physical circumstances. Everything in the natural says hope against hope, he believed. That's irrelevant. God had given a promise. And instead of giving in to self-condemnation, which is the grave robber, that's what doubt means, self-condemnation. I mean, that's the faith robber. Instead of giving in to that, he grew in faith because he refused to only have an opinion about God. And this was his opinion. He was fully assured that what God had promised, God was able to perform. That's the only opinion that matters. Amen. In the name of the Father, Son, Holy Spirit. Amen.